Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see each one out this evening, and my auditorium looks a little bit more full this morning because I kicked everyone out of the balcony. But there's a method to my madness, and a reason why I did that. So tonight, I would just like to do something maybe a little bit different, as was mentioned this morning, maybe a little bit interactive, where there's an occasion for you to do a little talking and mingling and interacting with one another. And so what I want to talk about tonight is this idea of being known and what that means as individuals, before God, but also down here on earth and in our context as believers in a local church. Some of the, the associations with that, it's a little bit sometimes precarious, it's a little bit dangerous, it's a little bit nerve-wracking to be known, but I think ultimately it's in that state that we thrive as a group of believers, as a body of believers, and we can do that which we are called to do. And so, just to start, I think it's important that we look at some scriptures to sort of base this all in and around. And the first verses that you see there on the screen, this is where we start, that God knows us. Whether you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ here this evening or not, these verses apply to you. We see these verses, John chapter 10, 14, 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. This is the Lord Jesus speaking of his own, and he knows them. And it is a real comfort to the believer to rest in these truths, that the Lord Jesus knows us. In Jeremiah in the Old Testament, God speaking to Jeremiah says that he even knew us when we were in the womb. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And that speaks of a real intimate relationship, a real knowledge. God knows us. Another verse says that he knows our frame. Psalm 139 there says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down, when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before my words is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. This is our God. This is the one who formed us. And sometimes I think in my own experience, it's that we sometimes relate to God as the distant sort of creator being in the sky, and yet these scriptures tell us plainly, this is the God who created us, who loved us, who redeemed us to himself, and in creating us and in that redemptive act, he knows us. Again, sometimes, there's different extremes of this that we, on one end, it's a really encouraging, comforting thing, and on another end, it's a convicting thing, isn't it? To know that we are known this well of God. So God knows us, and he has given us his word so that we can know him. All that we can know about God is found in his word, and in his word we read of him being a loving and caring God, a just God, a holy and righteous God. And so he has not left us in the dark of him either. He communicates with us about his personality and his deity and his goodness. I see this is going to close out on me. So I don't want to go, I don't want to back up. Uh-oh. I just pushed the power button. Uh-oh. I did it. Okay, I know where the next verse was, so you can grab your Bibles. And what you can actually do while this is booting up again is you all should see a piece of paper in front of you. You are allowed to look at that, and you are even allowed to write on it. If you don't have a pen, I can get you one. There's a pen up here. Maybe, Ava, do you want to help me? And Charlie, you can help too if you want. I'll just get them to go around, and if you want a pen, they'll just go around and give you that. So, great. I can't believe I pushed the power on this. So just go around and just see if anyone wants a pen. That made them pay attention. Hebrews chapter 10 was my next, I believe it was my next one. Yep. Whew, I know my slides. Okay. Hebrews chapter 10, 19, 25. Not only does God know us and we know God, but as believers, in a church context, as you know, as one with another, we're called to know one another and care for one another. I've seen this verse actually come up a couple of times, and it's just been referenced a few times, whether it's been from the pulpit or Wednesday nights. I've seen this underlined verse a couple of times, and so sometimes when you hear the same verse or some of the same thoughts over and over again, it sort of sticks in your mind a little bit, and I think that the Lord is drawing our attention maybe to these verses. And so just this section: "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir one another up one another to love and good works, not neglecting the meeting together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near." This idea of stirring up one another towards these good works, to love, first of all, and good works. This is what we're called to do as believers, one to another. Meeting together, gathering in a building like this, in a time like this, so we can sit under the sound of the word, to be taught, to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be challenged and convicted as well. But this idea of encouraging one another as you see the day approaching. This is, in a lot of ways, this place is our refuge. It's our escape away from the world. And we come together, as it were, to get out of the world and to be with like-minded believers, where we share the same understandings, the same beliefs, the same desires and goals. And we can encourage one another there. Another common verse that, again, these are just verses that I want to sort of lay as the foundation here tonight. Ephesians 2, 19, 22. "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens," but it says, as believers, when you're saved, "you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit." And then, but just above that, it says this verse that believers are his workmanship, his poem, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are fellow citizens with the saints. We are working together. We have the same Savior, the same word, and as we meet together again and encourage one another and build each other up, so we grow. Ultimately, the goal is to grow more like the Lord Jesus. And we are created for good works, and just that idea of working together, one with another. Valuable verses that, again, just tie in this all together. "The grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith God has assigned. For as one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Just that idea there, the key there of not thinking more highly than we ought to think. The emphasis here is humility. That's how, when you're working together with individuals, this idea of humility, no one is above anyone, that we're all sinners saved by grace, and that's how we see one another and how the Lord sees us. And we all have gifts, we all have different strengths and abilities that we have been gifted with, and how we can use those for the edification of the saints. The next section of this verse, love, let your love be genuine, let it be real, let it be authentic, let it be true. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Let love one another with brotherly affection. This is, again, what we are called to do as followers of the Lord Jesus, as those who take the name of the Lord Jesus with them into the world. And this last verse, a really important verse, and it's something that I've really had on my mind a lot over the last year or so, this thought of bearing one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. It's the etymology of the words is exactly as you would assume it to be. The burdens being a weight, and the bearing of it is the sharing of it. If I am carrying a great big 200-pound weight on my back, you come along and you say, here, let me take half of that and lighten the load on you. And you're taking off the weight off someone else. And so that is what we should be doing one to another, is bearing one another's burdens. When we come alongside and see someone bent over with a burden, and there's burdens of all different kinds that we bear, that we carry with us. To be able to see, first of all, that someone is carrying a burden, someone has a burden, that's a special gift in itself, and it requires a little bit of an awareness. We can come, I think, into a building like this and have our blinders on and just come in, sit in our seats, sing our songs, and go out. But to lift up our heads and look around and to communicate and fellowship with one another, and in that, that's where we really get a sense of where someone maybe has a burden, something that they're struggling with, something that they need prayer for or encouragement about. So, brothers and sisters, we are called to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so, tying it in here with us, I think of Charlottetown Bible Chapel, and I said here, small and big. We're small, a small group of believers. There's doubtless larger meetings, larger churches, even in the Charlottetown area. But we are, in a lot of ways, we're big too. It's from a perspective of the oversight, when we think about us and we meet, and we think of there's a lot of people in this meeting, and we struggle at times to try to get around to and meet the needs of the many diverse needs of the many people in this meeting. So, yes, in some ways we are a small meeting, and we do know a lot of us. We know we're related. Probably some of you are related to half or more of the people in this building, and or you've been coming here all your life, and you just know, well, that's so and so, and that's so and so. And yet, even within this context, it's probably the same as a work context. There's people a little bit about them because you chat with them and you know what their home situation or life situation is like. And then in another aspect, you really don't know them. You don't know that much about them. And just tying in with that, an interesting thing happened over the last, probably around Christmas or so, it was the second time it happened that someone came to me and asked, they were looking for someone in the meeting, in the auditorium, and I said, oh, it's this person or whatever. And they said, I don't know who that is. Can you point them out to me? And it was, these were people who have been going here for quite a while, and I thought, oh, you know who that is? That's so-and-so. They've been here forever. That it happened a couple of times. People were like, I don't know who that person is. And so this is this idea of, yes, we're small and close-knit, and yet we're big enough that there's people who maybe don't interact at all with one with another. And so when I think about some of these things that we do as a group of believers, as followers of the Lord Jesus, in a local church context, perhaps there's a lack or a loss of effectiveness because of that not knowing one another, not really understanding or knowing the individuals that we meet with here, that we break bread with, that we maybe share in a ministry with. So, you know, evangelism and was one area. It's interesting, you know, that there is, you know, with some of these things that we take up, when there's real enthusiasm and we're really gung-ho for it. And that was really encouraging to see how that, what was really neat, again, about that Christmas outreach was the way that the group of individuals banded together and really just were excited about it and super keen and really wanted to be a part of that. Sorry. Oh, I just went through my whole slides again. So, forgive me. PowerPoint, not a strong point. But there's a reason why I'm doing PowerPoint. To make it a little bit more interactive so that we can see what we're, see the points. And it's a way to help retain some of the ideas here. Just again with the prayer meeting too. So there's just an example of something that, you know, we meet for prayer every Wednesday evening, and I've heard it and I've experienced it that, you know, that in a prayer meeting is an opportunity where, as a group of believers, we would come together and in a lot of ways bear one another's burdens, where we should be bringing before, you know, and as an assembly, praying for one another. But if there is a lack of intimacy amongst the believers, there's a lack of really knowing one another, there is then a hesitancy or a fear of really saying, well, I'm going to stand up and ask for prayer for this very specific hurt or this specific struggle. And I think that comes from just a lack of knowing and maybe caring for one another. And so how much richer, perhaps, would our prayer meetings be if we could, without fear, without hesitancy, knowing that the group would surround us and put their arm around us and encourage us and pray for us, would we do that more freely if we really felt known and felt loved? And that's not to say we don't. And please, I know this maybe comes across as saying I'm very critical and we don't love or care for each other. That's not the case. But I think we who have been attending the midweek prayer meeting, I mean, and not to be critical, the majority of our prayers are for the missionaries in other countries of the world, which is they need prayer. They certainly do. But isn't the prayer meeting an occasion, an opportunity for us to pray for one another, to really bring before one another our concerns? And I'm speaking to myself here. I am perhaps maybe speaking only of myself and that hesitancy and that fear to maybe address or bring up or ask for prayer for things. But being known there is the key, being understood, being known that you're loved. Here's an interesting quote from author Tim Keller. It says, "To be loved but not known is comforting, but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of self-righteousness, and fortifies any difficulty life can throw at us." That was a really interesting quote, and especially humbles us out of our self-righteousness. If there is a reason why you don't know what I'm going through, it's because of my pride and my self-righteousness, and I don't want you to know, necessarily that what I might be struggling with. So this is an interesting graphic, and perhaps you've seen it before, and it's again a justification for what I want to do here this evening. And in the teaching world, we would look at something like this fairly regularly. But it's interesting looking at it from a church perspective too. So learning retention rates means how much you would take in, so how much you would retain of what you learned. So in a lecture format, which the majority of our, you know, our church services are, it's studied and understood that we retain about 5% of what we learned. So I don't know the math on that, but like, you know, if we're speaking for 45 minutes and you retain 5% of that, does that equate to a couple sentences? We read, and that's why they have us read. We used to turn your Bibles to this. And so, again, that helps with the retention rates. Audiovisual, something like this. Sometimes speakers will have this and incorporate this, and it's just an extra sort of entry point to learn things. And where I want to, and maybe this is a bit demonstration and that too, but what I would like to do tonight has to do with more of that red band there about a discussion group. And so getting, hopefully increasing our retention rates by about 45%. If there's something to retain, I guess that remains to be seen. But this is the idea here. And I just thought about it too. It's a hard thing to do. We're very used to, our services are, someone will sing four songs, and then the speaker will stand up for 45 minutes, and then we will, shake hands and exit the building. And for a certain percentage of learners, me included, who are auditory learners, that's how I learn. I think, I've got good brethren genes too, so I've sat through a lot of meetings, and I've learned to learn through hearing. That's how I get into my head a lot of stuff. Not everyone does. As we've learned, we learn, as we do studying about how we learn, that's just one way. And, and some studies would show that that's not overly always effective. And so sometimes just maybe trying some different ways to retain what we learn, maybe of some value. So you have in front of you this handout. And there's two sides. And if you haven't done so already, I would like you to start filling this out. And so on the left-hand side, it's the where are you from, where are you now, and where are you going. The idea here is this is your between the meetings coffee talk. This is the area that you might share with someone regularly. So it's the first questions that would come up. What are you doing with your life these days? What is it that you're occupying your time with? Who or where are you going to school? What are you doing? Where do you work? Who are you related to here? Who's your family? So those sort of immediate contact things. And sometimes me included, when you're interacting with someone, it's that first what's my lead in? What's my entry point here? What are we going to talk about? And I think that intimidates a lot of people, and that's fair. So maybe we don't interact with one another. Maybe we don't sort of bridge that because we're like, I don't know really what I'd say to that person. I don't know. I have nothing in common with them. I don't even know where they work or what they do or who, what's going on in their life. How can I have any meaningful interaction when I don't even know, I'm not even sure of their name or whatever or what they do, right? So this is just something that I want you to fill out. You don't have to fill it out if obviously if you know what you're going to say, but maybe this would just be something that you, just as a guide that you're going to use later on. And then on the right-hand side, it goes sort of beyond that. From the coffee talk, I say to getting real. So it's a little bit more the purpose and what I'd really like to get out of this evening. And that is, if we are going to grow as a body of believers, if we are going to continue in the Lord's work, if we are going to really be known, then this is the area where I think we need to go to. And these are hard questions. It's easy for me to talk with you about the Leafs or school or the weather. I could talk and we can have that conversation. But it's this stuff where the rubber hits the road, where I think we will really get to know one another and really get to encourage and strengthen one another in the Lord, is if we can say, this is something I need prayer for. And, I'm not saying necessarily we all have to unload here tonight and go right into the deepest, darkest things, but it's this idea of being able to get to this point, of just sharing and just being honest with one another. To say, I need help with this. Maybe this is something you could pray about. And the idea here, and this is what I would like to do with our time remaining, is that I'm going to group you up, and if you've looked around, you probably guessed how I'm going to group you up. And what I'd like you to do is just, you can use this if you're one of those nervous people, you don't know what you're going to say, you take this with you, and you're going to be grouped according to your birthday. And I know I looked at the back, everybody's birthday is written on a thing in the back in the Awana office, so you're not going to, you know, you're not going to be, oh, it just so happens that, you know, this husband and wife are having to have their birthday in the same month or whatever it is, or, you know, Dave and I aren't going to necessarily hang out in November, December, because my goal here is that you sit beside and chat with somebody who maybe you don't normally sit beside and chat with. And even to say, hear your full name, right? In my notes I'd written, don't make assumptions here. You assume that everyone knows your name. Everyone knows who you're related to and who your kids are. Evidently, as was my experience, that's not the case. So it may seem silly and trivial to be like, my name is Dan Frew, and, you know, but that's where we got to start, okay? And, you know, a little bit about where you work and et cetera. But then, ideally, we get to this other part, too. And if you could come away with having talked to someone tonight, and they told you, this is something that I would like you to pray for me about. And then you have something that you can pray for them about someone that maybe you've never done that before. I think that would be a valuable thing. I think that would be an encouraging thing. And you know what? It's not going to be an easy thing. If you're like me, you know, it's, again, maybe you came tonight hoping to warm that pew, get a little bit of something to feed you, and then off we go. But that's not my intent tonight, and I trust that it's not yours either. The way I have it worked out here is, obviously, if your birthday is January, February, then you might take up these first three pews. Or so. And then March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. And just take some time, maybe make eye contact with somebody. Again, if it's somebody you're comfortable with, it's going to be super easy to be like, oh, I know you. This is really awkward. I don't want to do this. Let's just hang out together. Okay? You're already thinking it. I know it. Some of you are going to do that if that's where your comfort level is. You know, this isn't like a drill sergeant here. But why not take an occasion? Why not take this opportunity to break out of that comfort zone a little bit and really get to know somebody? Okay, so what I'd like to do is this. It's not going to be long. I'm not going to make you have a half-hour conversation necessarily with somebody. I will call us back together when we right before we close, because I do want to close it up. But that is what I'd like to do. David, you have a question?
So we're pairing up with one person.
You might have to. I think ideally you pair up with one for time's sake. To do it in a group set, to do it all the whole group, I think will take too long. So for tonight, my ideal would be that you just find one person, maybe two. We haven't a lot of time. So we don't drag our heels, the team that gets together the quickest, and I'll be the judge of who that is, we'll get to snack on some Swedish berries. Go! I knew you were going to say that. Go sit with somebody. What? No, but you can go and give it to somebody.
Okay, can I?
No, actually, I better not. You can't do that.
Yeah,
You go sit with somebody.
I'm already with somebody. No, you tell me and I'll go push.
Let go. I have to go do this.
She got to pass up the pass.
But Daddy, I won.
You didn't win.
Yeah, but who won?
Well, not that group. September, October are dragging their heels. Ooh, these guys.
Oh. I got December in November. I got December.
Go then.
I already with somebody.
See ya. Go sit down. Did you guys find somebody? No, they're dragging. You guys are good. You guys are good. You guys are good. Awesome. Just want to make sure everybody's got somebody. Who are we going to sit with? Well, you will get your time. I initially it was going to reward the candies to those who got together quickest, but then I didn't. I thought January, February did a pretty good job, but since I'm a January kid, I thought there'd be bias thrown out. So I looked for the group that really was mixing with sort of the most and sort of different pairings and stuff like that. And so I liked the group at the back. They were picking some different ones and some unusual and different pairings there. So. Good job, group at the back. There was no winning. I couldn't. Fair enough. So I do, what was really neat this morning was as I was leaving the auditorium this morning, it seemed like it was empty in out there, but in here, everyone was just sitting chatting, and that is a common thing that we see here. And we really do have a really wonderful group of believers, and there is real close relationships and friendships that are here, and that's a wonderful thing. And I really think that God blesses that and will bless that, and that's really great to see. But it's important, I think, too, that sometimes we break out of our group. Sometimes we don't go to our usual circles or in a coffee time in between the meetings, that we see that person sitting on the side by themselves and just go and interact with them and chat with them and find out what's going on in their lives and have that conversation about what can I pray for you about. And the same with me. I'd be encouraged by that if you were to come to me and say that thing, say that same thing. And so the question that I just leave us with here tonight is just this. It's do you want to be known? Now, as we just started out, we are known. We are known and loved of our Creator, of God, and He knows each one of us, and He wants that relationship with us. If you are, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you've experienced that, closeness and that love that the Father and the Son has for each one of us. And then I trust, experienced it through His people as they have, as they have learned of the Savior and learned of and experienced their love for Him, then they, I trust are showing it to one another, to you. If you are not a believer here this evening, and you don't know what it is to be known of the Lord Jesus, if you have not experienced His love for you, if you've not truly accepted and known of the Lord Jesus as your Savior, He wants to know you. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to have that relationship with Him. He wants you to feel that warmth that I think you can feel in a group like this, in a meeting like this, of individuals who genuinely care for one another. And only His love is so much greater and so much fuller and richer than even that. And He wants that for you. And so I trust that if tonight you have not experienced that connection, that relationship, that you would bow the knee before him and accept the free gift of salvation which he has provided for you. And again, it's for us believers that we would just be encouraged as we continue, go from here. As a closing prayer, I trust that we just, you know, just continue those conversations that I interrupted. Just keep going and keep sharing, keep talking, and really just enjoy one another. And I trust that you know, we've maybe gained something, that we're able to know someone a little better after this evening, that we're able to, you know, maybe have made that contact now, that we can go and see that person when they're waiting for their kid in Awana, or they're sitting around after prayer meeting or whatever it is, and just really get to know them a little better. And so we'll just close, and as I said, just encourage you to just keep chatting and keep getting to know one another. God and Father, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you that you created us. We thank you that you love us, that you know us, that you knew us before we were even born, as your word says, Father. And you desire relationship with us. Father, you desire that we would know you and we would experience your love as shown through your Son for us. We thank you that we can gather here as a group of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, that though we come from different backgrounds, different families, have different interests, our ultimate common bond is the Lord Jesus. We thank you for that bond that we have in him. Help us, Father, even though we are at times a big group, help us to look out for one another, to encourage one another. Help us to sometimes step out of our comfort zones, to reach out to people who we wouldn't maybe ordinarily reach out to. Help us to be sensitive to the needs of one another. Help us to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Father, I thank you for this time. I pray that it would be an encouraging time for each one.